Okay, good. If you were here, I'm going to tell you that with this message, I think you're going to see that whole picture come together. And I think you're going to get so much more because Jason did a wonderful job this morning. And I'll tell you what, he couldn't have teed it up any better. I thank God for when you get that confirmation that, because I had no idea how he was going to, I knew he was going to be in the book of Jude, but I had no idea how he was going to come to that. And then, you know, as he's teaching in Bible study this morning, and Dallas quotes one of the verses that are in my lesson this morning, and I just love it when he does that, because it's just incredible, right? So if you would, if you'll read along with me, please. Matthew 4, starting in verse 1. Matthew 4. This story may be familiar to a lot of you, but hopefully you'll come away with a different point of view today. It says, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. Jesus answered him, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All of this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan. For it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. The devil left him, and the angels came and attended him. Father, we thank you for today. And Lord, I thank you not only for the greatest gift, sending your Son to die for our sins, but Lord, I thank you for the verses that we've read today. Not only did he come to pay for our penalty of sin, but Lord, he came to be an example. He came to show us how to fight the enemy, Lord. And Lord, I know that nobody likes going through trials or tempting. And Lord, it would be silly to say that we enjoy it. But Father, today, give us the power to embrace it. To lean solely on you, Lord, and to learn from our one true example, Lord, your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that if somebody's going through a trial this morning, if they're not, Lord, that they will be soon. Lord, that your words would ring out. Lord, it may be my voice, but let it be your words. Let it change lives today, Lord. And Lord, give us the power that comes from you. We pray all this by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. So we've got a title slide this morning, Knowing the Devil's Tactics and How to Conquer Them. You know, and as I was studying this week, I almost could have named this, It Is Written, because that's something you're going to hear several times today. It is written. In 1998, there was a secular movie that came out. It was called The Water Boy. It starred Adam Sandler. And it was kind of, you know, he was kind of into that slapstick comedy. It was one of those movies. But there was a story, and for those of you that haven't seen the movie, the basic outline of the movie is He's a simpleton. He's simple-minded. He stutters. He gets made fun of by a college football team that he's the water boy. He's coddled by his mother. So he's just very simple-minded. And it ends up that he's finally had enough one day, and he tackles the quarterback, and the coach sees this, and he goes, "Can you do this for me all the time?" Well, then he ends up being a star player on the team. He turns their whole season around. They hadn't won a game in 3 years. Well, finally now they're all of a sudden this great team because he's doing all these wonderful things on the defense. But there's another story inside that story. There's a big school, LSU, and the coach of that school is played by Jerry Reed. There's the smaller school that and Jerry Reed does fire the water boy, and then he goes to this smaller school that is coached by Henry Winkler. He's played by Henry Winkler. For those of you, maybe some of you know, he played the Fonz. Now, I know I'm giving away my age there. And back when we were kids, he was cool, right? Yeah. So anyways, these are two coaches. One, you know, Jerry Reed's coaching for a very large school, Henry Winkler for this very small unknown school that eventually becomes well-known, and they win the championship because of the water boy. But the story inside that kind of coincides with today's message is these two guys were coaches together in college, and they both coached for the big school. Well, they were both interviewing for the head coaching job. Well, Henry Winkler had this great playbook, had wonderful plays in it, and Jerry Reed comes in and he bullies him and he says, "I'm going to have this playbook." Well, he pulls it out of his hand, eventually gets the job, and then fires Henry Winkler from that big school. Well, he was so traumatized by this that he could never come up with any new plays. So when the two teams met in the championship, Jerry Reed was still using the same old playbook that he had taken from him in college. So not only was he successful on offense, but when the other team came out on defense, he knew that he couldn't come up with any new plays, so he knew which plays he was going to run, so he was able to defend him, and they couldn't score any until the water boy convinces Henry Winkler to come up with some new plays. And eventually he does, and they win the game. But my point is, and we're going to see this in today's message, the devil only has a few plays, but he still uses them today. Why? Because they work. Once you know that playbook and you recognize it, then you can defend against it. And that's what I hope you walk out of here today with, is the defense to defend yourself from that. Okay, starting in verse 1. It says, "Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil." Man, I've read that so many times, and it is amazing how much stuff is here in verse 1. I can give you 3 points, but I want you to notice it says then. We need to know what the then, we need to know what came before that, right? Because it says then. So if you remember, right after John the Baptist baptized Jesus, what happened? The Holy Spirit came down in the form of a dove, rested on Jesus, and then the heavens opened up, and a loud voice came from heaven going, "This is my Son with whom I love and with whom I'm well pleased." So at this point, we know that Jesus was filled by the Holy Spirit. Another thing that we need to understand going throughout this study is that Jesus was fully 100% man. If you can't grasp that, then it's going to be very difficult for you to understand this study today. Because all too often we look at Jesus and go, well, he was the almighty creator. He was. And it's hard for our finite minds to understand that he was both fully human and fully God. But we need to understand, first of all, that he was fully human. Now, how do we know that he was full of the Holy Spirit? Well, because Luke's gospel says that in the very first verse. It says, Jesus full of the Holy Spirit. That's how he starts out this same story. So Jesus was fully man. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. Number two, notice it says he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. The Almighty God, Jesus, was led to be tested by the most evil creation that was ever created, the devil. And he was led by God himself into this wilderness. And, I mean, that's got to be hard for Jesus being fully human, and he starts out his ministry being led into the desert. And then especially to be tempted by the devil. So why does Jesus allow himself to do this? Because we know with just one thought, he could have annihilated Satan right on the spot. So why does he allow this? I think the answer we just studied in the book of Hebrews, we've got some slides up on the screen. Hebrews 2:18. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. If he never did that, if he never allowed himself to be tempted as a human, then how could he be this wonderful example to us? Because we would just go, well, he was God. It was no big deal for him. No, he was fully human. Don't pass that up. Another thing I want you to see in here is it says that he was led into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. So we know if he was led by the Spirit, was he in God's perfect will? Absolutely 100% he was in God's perfect will. We know that God just said, this is my Son with whom I love and I'm well pleased. And, you know, that's a misconception that all too many Christians have today. They think, well, if I'm in God's perfect will, then I'm safe. I'm good. You know, the devil can't hurt. You know, he can't do anything to me. Quite the opposite. Let me tell you something. If you're in God's perfect and pleasing will, you got a big target on you. A big target. Because if you're not, then the devil's not going to chase you. He's not even interested in you. So make no mistake that if you're in the will of God, that you will go through trials, you will be tested, you will be tempted. Here's the good thing is that God doesn't leave us on that island alone. He's going to tell us, he's going to show us how to handle this when we do come with that. In God's perfect will, led into the wilderness. I'm going to give you a prime example of that. Look at the Israelites in Deuteronomy 8:2. It says, remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to be humble and test you in order to know that what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. So why would he not test us in that very same way? What makes you any different than them? You know, I mean, and believe me, I've been tested, I've been tempted, and sometimes I'm whiny, I fail it pathetically. But let me tell you, when you pass those tests, the smile that you put on Jesus' face, I mean, that's what I picture. I picture, you know, I want to make I want to make my Jesus proud. So understand that when we go through these trials, when we go through these testings, He's Almighty God. He already knows whether you're going to pass or fail. These tests are for you. These tests are for you to know when you can look back and go, man, I can't believe I failed that. I'm going to be ready next time. You know? But then there's those times also, there's the other side of the coin when we go, yeah, thank you, Jesus, because with you I withstood that. You know? So these tests are for us. Verses 2 and 3. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. So it says here in verse 2 that after fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. We all know that 40 is the number of testing and trials. If you remember Noah was tested and what happened? 40 days and 40 nights it rained. Moses, when he left Egypt after killing the Egyptian, he was in the desert for 40 years. Actually, Moses did two tours, because not only was he in the desert 40 years then, but he was also with the Israelites for 40 years. Remember Elijah, fasted for 40 days and 40 nights on his for his journey on his way to Mount Moab. So numbers have significance in the Bible. So just an interesting fact there that 40 is the number of judgment and testing, or testing and transformation, both of those. Number two, it shows us about Jesus' humanity here, because it says he was hungry. So God wouldn't be hungry, right? So this, again, shows us the humanity here of Jesus. I find that interesting that he was hungry, because we're talking about the same Jesus that provided thousands and thousands of tons of manna every day in the wilderness. So if he provided that for them, we know that just by with one thought, he could have had plenty of food for himself right there. Why did he not do that? Because if he does that, then the devil wins. There's three reasons that these are recorded for us. And the other thing I want you to notice here in verse 2 and 3 is that, do you notice that the devil waited until after the 40 days and he was hungry? So Satan does that, doesn't he? He waits till our very weakest moment, and then he attacks. So he attacked Jesus here at his weakest point, and he attacked him with just the very basic need of food, which we all know is just a basic need we have as a human. So the three reasons this actual scripture is recorded is, one, it shows that Jesus is the conqueror. We know that, like I said earlier, with one thought, he could have annihilated Satan. But he's going to show us how to conquer in a human state of form. Number two, it exposes Satan's tactics. We see here that he waits till the most opportune time, the very basic needs. However, it is written, and he gives us some scripture on how to deal with these tactics. Our first one is Ephesians 6:11. It says, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. The devil's always scheming, isn't he? Let me tell you something. He is looking today. He's looking out over this room, and he's looking for that weakest person. Have you remember as a kid when you used to watch the Animal Planet, and you saw the lion? What did he always do? He always went for the weakest one. What is the devil? We're going to see it in the next verse, I think. 1 Peter 5:8. Be alert and sober mind. Your enemy devil prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. He is that lion, and he is looking for the weakest vessel he can find. When we're not with Jesus, we're not walking with him, you are that weaker vessel. One more verse, 2 Corinthians 11:14. And I love this one. 2 Corinthians 11:14. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. You know, Dallas quoted that verse this morning in Bible study. Jason was teaching, we were talking about false teachers. And, you know, that's another tactic of Satan. Now, I want you to picture this. If Satan exposed himself to you the way he was, well, you would be, if he said, I'm the devil and I'm coming to kill you, well, obviously you would know, and you would know how to, you know. But what about when he comes and he says, well, you really don't need to do that. You can just do this. It's all about, you know, it's all okay. You can do this. He did it with Eve. He tried it with Jesus. And let me tell you, he does it to us every day. Wouldn't it be so much easier if he would just come out and show you who he was? But trust me, he's not going to do that. And it's the, you know, we were talking in Bible study about just the very subtleness. And it could be changing a few words in a verse. It could be taking that verse out of context. You know, I can tell you right now that out of thousands of scripture, anybody know what the shortest verse in the Bible is? Jesus wept. You know, I could take that verse and make a whole study out of it that has absolutely nothing to do with the context of that verse. Make no mistake, the devil does, that's his job. He does it very well, and he knows the Bible. The devil is real. He knows the Bible, and he will use it against you. The third reason is, and I love this, Jesus's victory here in these verses also guarantees us that we can resist the temptation. When the devil comes to us, and he trust me, if he's not coming for you right now, he will be in some form or fashion. And I love this because this shows the humanness, but it also shows that we can have victory in Jesus. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. In other words, he's saying Jesus was fully man when he resisted this temptation. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, notice he doesn't say if you ever get tempted. When you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Not that you can pass it over. Not that you can step around it. Not that you can miss it, but that you can endure it. And I love this for so many reasons, because one, he shows us that even though we're human and we're fighting a very, very powerful adversary, that we can resist. You know, sadly, a lot of people just don't want to resist. They're too happy in their sin. You know, but we know that Jesus' victory allowed Paul to write Romans 8:37. knowing all these things, that we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. You can be more than an overcomer. You can be a conqueror. You can be more than a conqueror, it says. Verse 4. Now we get into some Jesus power here. He says, Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Here's the sad part of today's message. There are too many people in too many churches all over Texas, United States, the world, that simply don't know what is written. How do you combat it? We're going to see three times Jesus' answer is always the same. It is written. And it makes me very sad because, you know, there's a lot of good Christians, good people, and, you know, a lot of people have those little magnet verses on their refrigerators, or they have them in their car, you know, whatever. And one of the popular verses today, and really it's a pillar verse. I love it. It's not on the board, but it's Matthew 6:33. Does anybody know what that says? Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." The sad part is I'll bet you if you ask 90% of people sitting in a church that come to church every week, they can't tell you what is written in the verses right before that. What exactly is it that he says will be added unto you? You know what it is? It's your basic needs. Food and clothes. From verse 25 all the way to 33, talks about, you know, do not worry. God will provide for you. If he feeds the birds of the air, how much more precious are you? Will he not take care of you? Will he not provide food for you? If he dresses the lilies of the field with all their splendor, were more beautiful than Solomon, will he not provide clothes for you? But first seek his kingdom and his righteousness. Then all these things will be added unto you. Are you going to go hungry? You know what? God may put you through a test someday. And trust me, it is a test. It's never tempting when it comes from God. When it's tempting, it comes from the devil. But will he allow you to go through a test? Absolutely. Why? To know where you're at, so you know where you're at. So maybe you know where you need to build. I've gone hungry. I've failed some tests. But he always pulled me through. Always. He always provided for me. I'm sure there's people sitting here today that have gone to bed hungry, not had food to eat. But you're here, so you obviously made it through. Another thing I want to point out here is that he says that it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. So Matthew is the only book that adds that on the word that comes from the mouth of God. The next closest, who was here a couple weeks ago for Communion Sunday? Okay, do you remember how Dean went to all four Gospels to give us a little bit of a picture here, a little bit of a picture here, and he was talking about, you know, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, you know, getting the body of Jesus? But if you remember, the Gospel of John was the only one that noted that Nicodemus was with him. This story is no different. So I encourage you to read all four Gospels. Now, Luke's Gospel and Matthew's Gospel on this story are very similar. There are a couple of slight differences. But however, Mark, the book of Mark, just says that that Jesus was led and tempted in the wilderness. The book of John mentions this story not at all. So it is important that we look at all four Gospels for the whole picture. You know, you want to get the whole picture. Verse 5 and 6. It says, then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Now, it said that this highest point of the temple was actually about 2,000 feet. So that would have been a pretty high distance up there. But I want you to see the first thing that Satan does here. He says, if you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down. So the first thing that the devil's trying to do here with Jesus, and the first thing he did with Eve, and the first thing he's going to try to do with us, is he's going to try to attack our basic needs, but then he's going to cast doubt. And he's going to cast doubt about, does the Father really love you? You know, Andy, Janlin, does Andy really love you? But that's how it starts. Because if he can create a wedge in that marriage by convincing her to think, well, does he really love me? That's just a tactic. We've got to be able to recognize that tactic. Another thing, notice that Satan quotes Scripture here. I would say he misquotes Scripture here. But he says, throw yourself down, for it is written. So two things he's trying to do here is he's trying to quote Scripture, and he's trying to cast doubt. Because what does he tell Jesus? He says, well, if you are the Son of God, just throw yourself down. Didn't your father say he would send the angels to catch you before you fall? And what he's misquoting here is Psalms 91. I put it on the board because I want you to see something. He says, for he will command his angels concerning you. But look, he left this out, to guard you in all your ways. And that's a great point that Jason said this morning, talking about false teachers in his Bible studies. They'll give you the truth, but they may just leave that one little thing out. And that one little thing can mean all the difference. Because to guard you in all your ways, does that not make a lot of difference in that verse? To guard you in all your ways, they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. We need to be prepared, because we're going to run into these false teachers. And these false teachers are there to lead you astray. How do we defend ourselves? Well, we just talked about it. Know what is written. Know what is written, and that will help us. And if we can get that, if we know what's written, how powerful that is. Because that's exactly how Jesus responds in verse 7. Look what he says in verse 7. Then Jesus answered him, it is also written. So I love the way Jesus corrects him here. You know, and what he's basically saying is to the devil is, well, yeah, you're quoting Scripture, buddy, but this is what it really says. And he says, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to test. Whew, boy, that's a tough one. How many of us do that? A lot. You know, oh, Lord, if you want me to have this house, just write my name in the sky. You know, Lord, if you want me to have that woman, just have her sit in that chair on the left. You know, no, 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 don't do it. Don't do it. It says right here, don't do it. But we've all done it. We all do it every day, probably. Lord, make this fleece dry. You know, the difference between, you know, Gideon back then with the fleece is that that was in the Old Testament. He didn't have the Holy Spirit living within him. We do. We don't have that excuse. You should have, if you have that Holy Spirit living with inside you, there is no reason that you should tempt or test the Lord your God. In fact, there's only one place that the Lord says, test me, Bruce. In your tithe. That's the only place in the Bible that the Lord says, test me on this. Verse 8 and 9. Again, the devil took him up to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Now this is Satan's last appeal. And this appeal to Jesus is all about shortcuts. All about shortcuts. He's trying to get Jesus to take a shortcut here. One thing I want to tell you, there are no shortcuts with Jesus. And I'll explain that just in a minute, a little bit more. But I want you to notice one interesting thing here. Do you notice that Jesus doesn't rebuke Satan here when Satan says, all this I will give you? Pretty interesting, isn't it? But really, it's all God's. God was the creator of the world, so then why didn't Jesus rebuke him? Because really, to be honest with you, this world does belong to Satan. Satan has dominion over it. Who gave him that dominion? Adam did. When he sinned, willfully sinned, because God gave Adam dominion over the world, Adam gave it to Satan. And Satan's saying, Jesus, look, you don't have to go to the cross. You don't have to endure all that. All you got to do is worship me and I'll give it to you. But without that sacrifice, there's no redemption of sins. Jesus knew that without that, with no crown, there's no crucifixion. He knew that he had to endure that. We also know, thank God, that yes, Satan does have dominion over this world, but Jesus will take it back in Revelation 5. If you remember that, John says, John is actually weeping because there's no one worthy to take the scroll. And then all of a sudden, Jesus comes, he takes the scroll. That scroll is the deed back to the earth, and he will take it back someday. Unfortunately, that's not now. So Satan does have dominion over this world. And, you know, here's the sad part, that not only does he have dominion over this world, but do you know that he has a much, much larger following than Jesus? Much larger. How do I know that? Well, Matthew 7:13, you know, wide is the gate, broad is the path that leads to destruction, and many will find it. Narrow is the gate, and small is the path that leads to life, and only few will find it. You know, Tracy sent me a meme the other day of, you know, when you think you want to underestimate the devil and his following, the meme said that if the devil can talk a third of the angels from leaving heaven, he can talk you into going to hell. Be careful who you listen to. You know, John also said in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, it's not on the board, test the spirits. Test the spirits to know that they're from God. Verse 10, Jesus answered him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Again, this goes back to shortcuts. You know, Satan is trying to tell Jesus, well, you can have service without sacrifice. Bruce, you really don't need to go to that church event and serve the poor or feed the homeless. You don't need to do that. You know, there is no service without a sacrifice. One of my wife's favorite verses, 2 Samuel 24:24. If you remember, you know, David was wanting to build the altar, and he went and they said, well, you know, here, you can have this, you can have this. And David said, no, I'm going to pay for this. I will offer no sacrifice to the Lord, that which costs me nothing. If you're looking for a shortcut, there's not one out there. If somebody tells you that there's a shortcut, they're lying to you. As I said earlier, Jesus knew that. He knew there was no shortcuts, and he knew that there was no crown without a crucifixion. You are his crown. But without that crucifixion, we'd all be damned. Notice that Satan never mentioned the word serve there, but God did. Jesus said, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. There again, another subtle tactic of Satan, just leaving one little word out. But Jesus put that word in there because he knew when we were reading this that whatever you serve, that's what you will worship. Make no mistake, whatever you serve is what you'll worship. Matthew 6, 24 says, most of you will know this when you see it, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Some of your translations may say mammon. I think mammon's probably better because it's not just your money, it's your time, it's your talents, it's everything that's in you. And I love that Jesus put that in there so that we would understand that whatever we serve is what we will worship. The last verse in verse 11, it says, the devil left him and the angels came and attended him. Now, in verse 13 of the Gospel of Luke, his ending is a little different, and they're both true, I have no doubt, because I'm sure the angels did come and attend to Jesus after Satan left. But for those of you that don't know, in Luke's Gospel, in Luke 4:13, it says that Satan left him until a more opportune time. Now, we all know that that time would be in the Garden of Gethsemane when the devil would give him the full fury of what he had, you know, right before Jesus went to the cross. So I actually like Luke's ending a little bit better, because one thing that we need to understand is that, look, when you get out of that test or that temptation that you're going through, whether you pass or fail, and I hope that today God's given you the blueprint or the template that you can use to succeed. But whether you pass or fail, make no mistake that he might let you go for a little bit, but he's coming back. The devil will come back at a more opportune time. And I'm guessing, based on our scripture today, that it'll be when you're at your weakest. when you're at your lowest, when you're fighting your whatever you're fighting, and you feel like nobody's there. And I want to close with that, because we know that all of us are or will be facing some kind of trial or temptation. But it is written. If we walk by faith and not by sight, if we walk by faith and not by feeling, then we know the devil's tactics. If we know those things, then we can become. Jesus has shown us how to be conquerors today. He has shown us how to be conquerors. And always remember, when you face these trials and tests, when it seems like you're all alone, you've cried out to God, and you don't hear a voice, and you can't hear his voice for some reason, seems like you're all alone, just remember this, as it is written, because it is written, and it's written in Deuteronomy 31:6, it's written in Joshua 1:5, it's written in Hebrews 13:5. Everybody say it with me. That's right. Amen. That God will never leave you or forsake you. And if you remember that, you will go through the trial. You will be tempted. You will be tested. Just remember to keep walking with him. Just remember, keep walking with him, and he'll bring you through it. This morning, if you're here and you're going through a trial, you're going through a test, and you just want to come up and talk to God, let him know, Lord, I know I can't do it on my own. I need your help. I know now that you're with me. I know you're not going to leave me. And if you want to just come up and talk to him, I'm going to open the altar up in a minute. Maybe you don't have that relationship with God. I think most everybody in here I recognize. I think they do. But if you don't, let me introduce you to him. Let me introduce you to him. And there's plenty of people here that will pray with you. If you need somebody to come up, if you need somebody to pray with you, come up. I'll pray with you. Bruce will pray with you. So I'm going to pray, and we'll open up the altar. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for today. Lord, I just thank you so much for you giving us the instructions, Lord. Lord, we have the instruction manual. We have the playbook, Lord. Lord, help us to always recognize, one, the devil's schemes. Let us be able to see when he's coming after us, Lord, so that we will take refuge in you, Lord. And Father, my prayer is that we will devour your word so that we will know what is written. Lord, that is the only way to defeat the enemy. We thank you for showing us that today. And Father, I pray for those here today, Lord, that are going through a trial, a temptation. Lord, I pray that you would strengthen them and build them up. I pray that you would give them the power of your spirit to fight the enemy, Lord. Lord, we love you. We thank you so much for this day, and we put our full faith and trust in you and give you all the honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.